It's good to have all of you here. Our theme this evening is this underlying mindset that we want to promote and practice together, and it's the idea of Selah. Sam, you want to put that up there? This idea of Selah, it's a word from Psalms and also in Habakkuk, and it has the understanding that you're supposed to slow down. Take a moment. Think for some time about what's just been said and what it really means. And so through the evening, that we'll have multiple times of Selah. We'll tell you a part of the story of Christ's crucifixion, for instance. Take a moment. Think about what that really means. Think about what was just said. Think about what it means. Think about, reflect upon it. Don't go rushing forward, but ponder. We see it in Psalm 3. So I want to read that to you and see how the Selah idea helps us grasp what, in this case, David was saying. It was during a time when he fled from his son Absalom. "Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there's no help for him in God." Selah. Think about David's situation, his circumstances. People are against him. "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain." Selah. "I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I'm not afraid of the thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. Rise up, Lord. Save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people." Selah. The Lord protects. Regardless of our circumstances, he is on the throne. We can rest in him. We can sleep. We can wake up. We can have our day, regardless of circumstances, because it is the Lord where we find salvation.
So we hear so much of the Lord in these Psalms. Even as Jesus at times cried out to God, we hear his voice in the Psalms and the voice of David all the way back in the Old Testament. But tonight we are going to be looking specifically at this 24-hour period of time in which Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sin. And we will take a time to ponder that. But there's so much more in Scripture or beyond Scripture, the things that took place in this week and in this 24 hours, than we could ever talk of here tonight. And so as we don't call this a celebration. Sunday is our celebration, right? This is a time for pondering and considering, concerning ourselves about that which Christ has done on our account. And as we ponder, as we realize that there's more words that could possibly be said here tonight, we realize that these things are mentioned so that we may believe. That we, the people of God, they ponder things that our God, our Christ, our Savior has done for us, but also for the world who does not know these things to be true. They also should be pondering, take thought of, consider. And at each of these readings, there will be an opportunity for you, the congregation, to join with us and to respond with a reading. And it will be ushered in as such, saying, and the congregation replies by saying, it will be up on the board, and we all have the opportunity to respond with those words. And then we will take a time, even at the end of that, to just stop and meditate. 20 or 30 seconds of just silence. Don't get antsy. Just breathe it in, contemplate, and let God do what he wants to do in our hearts tonight to draw us to himself. Our Father God, we give this night to you, that you may be glorified in our hearts, Lord God, that you may become the true center of who we are as a body of Christ, as guests, as families. Lord God, if we have put you aside for the year past, but here tonight, Lord God, I pray that every one of us would center in and focus upon you. If, Lord God, we have walked rightly with you and have made you the deepest part of our lives as we should throughout this past year, then again, Lord God, I ask that you would take tonight and use it to deepen our hearts, deepen our faith. Oh, that we may believe. Heal our unbelief, oh God, here in this place tonight. We pray these things in your name and by your power. Amen.
On the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he gathered for a meal with his disciples. He told them of his desire to celebrate the Passover with them, the remembrance of God's deliverance of the Israelites, a sacrifice of blood that caused death to pass over those who, in faith, put the blood on their doorposts.
He demonstrated his love and set an example for them by washing their feet. The King of the universe washed the feet of those who would soon desert him.
He demonstrated his commitment to God's plan as he declared that one of the disciples would betray him, but he did nothing to stop it, and Judas left the meal to do just that.
And Jesus shared with them the bread, his body, and the cup, the new covenant in his blood, as he established what we know as the Lord's Supper.
He told his disciples that they would all betray him. Peter said, "I will die with you," and was told that he would, in fact, deny Jesus three times before morning.
Before they left that upper room, Jesus told them that he was going away to prepare a place for them, that he was the only way to the Father, that he would ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be with them and teach them, and that he would give them peace. And the congregation expressed their trust in God. The congregation read aloud, "May we rest in God's love and covenant. May we be taught by the Holy Spirit. May we follow Christ's example of servanthood and live in peace and unity." Selah.
As they relocated to the Garden of Gethsemane for a time of rest and prayer, Jesus asked them to keep connected with them, and he began to teach them. He encouraged them to stay, to pray. He talked of himself as the vine and them the branches, producing much fruit by staying closely knit with him to bear much fruit. He also commanded them again to love one another. He warned them about persecutions that would be coming down the way for those who believe in him and trust in him. And again, he promised that his Holy Spirit, the Counselor, would be coming to guide them into all truth. And so Jesus prayed for all of his disciples, both then and for us today, that they that we would become one, just as he and the Father were one.
Once in the garden, Jesus withdrew to pray, asking the disciples to stay awake with him.
He prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." This he prayed three times.
Each time he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. The last of these times he told them, "My betrayer is near."
Judas, the betrayer, appeared with a large mob. He approached Jesus to give a kiss, a sign that he was the one to be arrested. Jesus asked the crowd, "Who is it you are looking for?" They said, "Jesus, the Nazarene."
Jesus said, "I am." And they all stepped back and fell to the ground. He asked again, "Who is it you are looking for?" Again, they said, "Jesus, the Nazarene."
Jesus said, "I told you I am. Let these men go." Peter stepped forward and drew his sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants.
Jesus told Peter to put his sword away. The arrest was not to be resisted. Jesus said, "How then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?"
The soldiers and temple police arrested Jesus and led him away to the house of Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest.
Completely surrendered to God, his will, his plan, his purpose, Jesus allowed himself to be arrested and taken away to stand trial as a lamb sent to be slaughtered, fully knowing all that was to come. And so we as a congregation, gratefully receiving God's grace, we say, together.
May
we ever be aware of God's provision through Jesus' willing sacrifice for us. Let us worship with humility and gratitude. Selah.
During that night, Jesus was questioned at the homes of Annas, Caiaphas, and ultimately before the Sanhedrin. They were looking for testimony, even false testimony, that they could use to put him to death. They had decided long before that he must die. In fact, Caiaphas had said prophetically, shortly after Lazarus had been raised from the dead, "It is to your advantage that one man should die for the people, rather than the whole nation perish."
In Annas' house, Jesus was asked about his teaching. He said that he had always spoken publicly and questioned why they were questioning him at this time. He told them instead they should ask those who heard him teach.
One of the temple police slapped him and asked, "Is this the way you speak to the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, give evidence. Otherwise, why did you hit me?" Frankly, his teaching was not the issue. They hated him.
Before the Sanhedrin, many false witnesses came forward, but they could not get their stories straight. Finally, two agreed that the complaint was the alleged claim that Jesus said that he could demolish God's sanctuary and rebuild it in 3 days. But Jesus remained silent.
In frustration, the high priest said, "Do you have an answer?" And Jesus remained silent.
Finally, the high priest said, "By the living God, I place you under oath. Tell us plainly if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
Jesus told him, "You have said it, but But I tell you, in the future you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
At this, the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? Look, now you've heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" They answered, "He deserves death." They spit on his face and beat him. And the congregation recognized their need for truth. May we truly listen to Jesus' teaching and see the evidence that demonstrates truth. May we rejoice that one man died for the people, for us. Selah.
Early in the morning, the Jews took Jesus bound to Pilate the governor. And they accused and claimed all manner of violations of the law, and yet Jesus remained silent. Pilate interviewed Jesus and was amazed that he did not answer. He did not answer one of the charges that were laid against him.
Pilate asked Jesus, Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said it." Pilate told the Jews that he found no grounds for charging Jesus.
Realizing that Jesus was from Galilee, and therefore under the rule of Herod, Pilate sent Jesus to him. Herod questioned, the Jews accused, Herod and his men mocked. Jesus remained silent.
So Jesus was returned to Pilate, who told the Jews that neither he nor Herod had found any grounds for charging Jesus. "Clearly, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will have him whipped and then release him."
But they all cried out, "Take this man away. Release Barabbas to us." Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate addressed the Jews again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him."
A third time, Pilate argued, "Why? What has this man done wrong? I have found no grounds for the death penalty. I'll have him whipped and released." But they would not hear of it. They kept up the pressure until Pilate gave in to their will, and Jesus was turned over to be crucified. And the congregation realized Jesus' death was undeserved, and we reply, may we realize that like Barabbas, we deserve judgment, and that like Barabbas, Jesus has taken our place. There are no grounds for his death except his love for us. Selah.
Having been whipped and beaten, mocked and spit upon, Jesus was then burdened with carrying his own cross to Golgotha, the place of crucifixion. As he stumbled under its weight, Simon of Cyrene was pressed into service to assist him. The women cried out, but Jesus instructed them not to weep for him, but to weep for themselves, because in reality, things were only going to get worse.
Jesus was nailed to a cross and suspended for all to see. All who scoffed and mocked. The soldiers tried to give him wine mixed with gall, but he wouldn't drink it. The soldiers gambled for his clothing. If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself.
In fact, that was the charge against him. It was lettered on a sign fixed above his head. Jesus, the Nazarene, the king of the Jews. The Jews took offense to the sign and wanted it to be changed. But Pilate declared that it would stay.
He was hung between two criminals who rightly deserved punishment. One of these also taunted Jesus and mocked him. Save yourself and us.
But the other rebuked him, acknowledging their guilt and Jesus' innocence. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Crucifixion is perhaps the most brutal expression of the death penalty. In addition to a crown of thorns that Pilate's men had fashioned earlier, Jesus' hands and feet were pierced with spikes to affix him to the cross. He was then hoisted into a vertical position in which he would have to lift his weight against those spikes to breathe. However, Scripture tells us that Jesus bore an even greater weight of pain and punishment as the sin of the whole world was placed upon him, and he was separated from the Father for the first time in eternity. And the congregation realized our part in Jesus' death. May we acknowledge that the shame and pain that Jesus faced was for us, on our behalf, in our place. Jesus, remember us. Selah.
But Jesus was often silent on the cross. Well, in trial, he was not necessarily silent as he hung there on the cross. As we conclude our service this evening, let's reflect on all that he said and the importance of all that he said that is enough to exert himself in pain to speak to us and to those around him. Each warrants its own time of pondering, of considering the depth of its meaning, its application into our relationship with Jesus, and his expression of submission and love.
Upon arrival at Golgotha, as the soldiers carried out their orders, inflicted pain, and raised Jesus up, he said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing.
Selah.
When the second criminal asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom, Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Selah.
Some of Jesus' followers were standing nearby, including his mother and the disciple he loved. From the cross, Jesus expressed care for his mother. He told her, Woman, here is your son. And he said to his disciple, Here is your mother.
Selah.
About 3 o'clock, the sky was darkened. The sun's light failed. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Selah.
Once all was accomplished to fulfill Scripture, Jesus said,
I'm thirsty.
Selah.
And then, after they offered sour wine from a sponge, Jesus said, it is finished.
Selah.
Just before he breathed his last, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit.
Selah. The earth quaked, the rocks were split, and the curtain in the sanctuary, which served as a barrier between the Holy of Holies and the people of God, a barrier to the very presence of God, that curtain was split in two, from the top to the bottom. And the congregation worshiped the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Savior, and said, may we embrace the access to the Father that Jesus purchased for us through his death on the cross. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and by believing, we know that we have life in his name. Selah. Call this night Good Friday because it is a time for us to ponder, for us to consider, for us to dwell upon that which seems impossible. It's a time for us to stop all the busyness of our activities, to slow down, and to take note of something perhaps that has become fairly trite or repetitive in our minds over years of hearing it, but man, I love this old gospel. This gospel that was perpetrated upon our Savior by God the Father himself, that he willingly allowed himself to be let out of blood, to be hung and splayed up on a cross, that gospel that begins here tonight on Good Friday. For us to consider and to think of the pain and the agony that was met out upon one who is completely 100% righteous and holy. What is your response tonight? Do you hear his voice from the cross tonight? For those who are struggling and considering how much more you have to do to win his favor, he has already said the words. It is finished. It has been done. It is completed. All that you hope to do to win his favor, it's already been accomplished. For his death on the cross is perfect. Holy life spilled out was once and for all the righteous for the unrighteous, that we may come to know God. So what is your response? In your heart of hearts, have you made him King and Lord? Do you hold on to this gospel as the life and breath of your everyday. Those are not words of condemnation. They're not questions of pointing fingers. To every one of our souls, we must ask these things. Oh God, make this more and more true to me. Every day of my life, make it more true to me. Help me to understand it so that it changes who I am. It helps me to live and love you better. That's what the gospel will do for our souls, for our lives, for our family, for every part of who we are. So I ask you, what's your response? Has the story gotten so old? Has the voice from the cross gotten to be so many times overly stated in our minds that we forget? Let us never forget. Let us hold fast to this great gospel. Let us love it with all of our lives. Let us take hold of it and walk in it. We leave here tonight with Christ going to the grave. A human body, a God-man who had given himself over to a human body to be tortured and to be crushed. A dead body is going to be taken off that cross and laid into a tomb. And we always have to give the secret away at the end. You have to stay there for long. Amen?
Amen.
In 2 days from tonight, we will gather again and we will celebrate what is the true meaning, the resurrection and the life that enters into the person who holds fast to Jesus Christ. And I'll ask you again, on Sunday again, what is your response? He lived this life. He died this death. And yes, he does resurrect, and he lives at the right hand of the Father. And what is our response to him? Trust in him as your Lord and Savior if you have not done so. Hold fast to him. Walk with him. Let him hold you and guide you. And Father God, we ask as we close out here tonight, that by your Spirit, Lord God, that our response to you would be yes, yes. Glory to you, King of Kings, who has come and put on flesh and has suffered and died on our account. We say yes to you, living King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the truth we live by. And that is the response that we give. Bless the Lord.
Again, we thank you for joining us. We appreciate the opportunity to fellowship and worship with you. We pray that you would carry this idea of Selah through the weekend, that when we rejoin on Sunday morning, for those of us who will be here or part of either of the other churches that are meeting on Sunday, we will have thought it through. We will understand the sacrifice that was made, the opportunity that was given, the offering, the invitation to be children of God, to be united with Christ in his death and burial, but also to be united with Christ in his resurrection, that we might have eternal life. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed.